From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
For the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy says he's going to pursue legal action against the Environmental Protection Agency's veto of the Pebble Mine. On Talk of Alaska, he called the EPA's final determination a political decision.
It's on state land. We traded land for this particular mineral find. The whole premise of Alaska as a going concern, as an entity, as a sovereign, is that we were to develop our resources. That's the irony of this whole thing.
The EPA has vetoed mining at the Pebble Deposit in southwest Alaska. It exercised a rarely used power under the Clean Water Act to ban and restrict the discharge of mining materials in waters around the site. It says doing so will, quote, help protect the most productive wild salmon ecosystem in the world, close quote. Some Bristol Bay tribes started petitioning the EPA to use that veto authority in 2010, and the process has flip-flopped between three presidential administrations. Dunleavy has been one of the most vocal opponents of the EPA's actions at the Pebble Deposit. Opponents of the mine are celebrating the decision, and Dunleavy says he understands that some people don't like the Pebble project.
But as governor, my job is to make sure that we take advantage of every opportunity. I believe we have the best environmental standards in the world, and I think it's a sad day for Alaska and for the country.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied Pebble a federal permit in 2020, but the company appealed that decision. EPA officials said in a news conference on Monday that this ban is specific to the Pebble deposit and does not apply to any other projects in the state. But Dunleavy called the EPA's action a, quote, dangerous precedent, close quote. He also said it was one in a series of projects that could have provided jobs in Alaska but were struck down.
The irony of a lot of these projects that are trying to be shut down is that they're located in some of the poorest areas of our state. Now, what's the answer for some of those folks that want to develop their resources, whether it's Kakanak, whether it's out of Pedro Bay, Iliamna? What's the alternative for them? A check from the government?
Opponents of the mine say it would threaten the region's ecosystem, as well as the Alaska native cultures that rely on traditional subsistence resources like salmon. Alaska's congressional delegation had mixed responses to the announcement. Senator Dan Sullivan said that while he opposed Pebble, the EPA's actions could set a precedent for development on state lands. Senator Lisa Murkowski reiterated her opposition to the mine, but said she supports mining in the state, and that the Biden administration has a responsibility to support other projects. Meanwhile, Representative Mary Peltola supports the EPA's use of its veto authority at the site. Thanks to KDLG's Izzy Ross for that report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
After 2 weeks of staying at the dock in protest, Kodiak's Tanner Crab fleet is finally going fishing. Crabbers agreed to a price with the island's processors last Saturday. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth has this report.
each of Kodiak's four canneries offered slightly different deals. Alaska Pacific Seafoods agreed to $3.35 per pound plus a retro payment, which can boost the final payout to fishermen after the season. Pacific Seafood offered something similar. OBI came up to $3.25 per pound plus a profit-sharing agreement. Trident Seafood stayed at a flat rate of $3.25 per pound. It wasn't exactly the deal Kodiak crabbers were hoping for, but ultimately, 80% of those in attendance at Saturday's meeting agreed. It was time to go fishing. Kevin Abina is the secretary and treasurer for the Kodiak Crab Alliance Cooperative, which represents the fisheries permit holders.
We stuck together. We're going to roll this thing out together, and we're looking at it as a victory.
Crabbers were initially offered $2.50 per pound ahead of the season, and at one point nearly 200 vessels up and down the Aleutian chain said they weren't going fishing unless they were offered a better price. Crabbers in Chignik and the South Peninsula started fishing last week after coming to an agreement with canneries in King Cove. But as of Friday, 130 vessels from Kodiak still weren't fishing. Alaska's Department of Fish and Game also confirmed it hadn't received any harvest reports or landings in that time.
It's important for these processors to know that we can stick together and organize and get a more fair deal.
With a deal in place, crabbers set their gear at noon on Monday for the start of Kodiak's Tanner crab season. And fishing can go fast in Kodiak's Tanner crab fishery. Last year, the fishery closed after just about a week. This year's quota is much larger. Abina says they're expecting a bottleneck at local canneries, and some vessels might be stuck waiting to unload their harvest. But despite all that, he says the fleet is more than ready.
For a fisherman, he's worried about when he's going fishing and how long he's going to be out fishing. Now we have the first piece of that puzzle. We have the when we're leaving, and that's huge.
Abina is also the skipper of the fishing vessel Big Blue. Ahead of Monday's opener, he said that after the last 2 weeks, he expected to feel a sense of relief when he pulled out of the harbor. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Alaska's governor says he will appeal a pending federal court ruling that threatens to shut down the Southeast Alaska king salmon season. Governor Mike Dunleavy was unequivocal when answering a question from a listener during Alaska Public Media's Talk of Alaska. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Duval, Washington-based Wild Fish Conservancy filed suit against the National Marine Fisheries Service in U.S. District Court in 2019, arguing that a flaw in the agency's environmental analysis left a small population of endangered killer whales in Puget Sound exposed to further harm due to the interception of their primary food source, king salmon, also known as Chinook. In barest terms, the proposed remedy to correct this alleged oversight by NIMS involves shutting down the Southeast Alaska salmon troll fishery until the full impact of the Chinook harvest on southern resident killer whales can be assessed. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game intervened in support of the National Marine Fisheries Service. So did the Alaska Trollers Association. It hasn't gone well. Although a federal judge in 2020 declined to impose an injunction against the Southeast troll fishery, the latest report and recommendation in the U.S. District Court of Western Washington in December 2022 leaves open the possibility that the Wild Fish Conservancy could prevail. If a judge signs off on the recommendation, trolling for king salmon in Southeast might be off limits for 10 months of the year, making the fishery uneconomic and unviable for many trollers. Although the state joined the lawsuit, it's been relatively quiet about the case. No fighting words, at least in public. That changed on Tuesday morning when Juneau troller and four-decade-plus fisherman Tom Fisher posed the question directly to Governor Dunleavy on Alaska Public Media's Talk of Alaska.
My question is, will the state commit all resources necessary to take this court case to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and, if necessary, the Supreme Court?
Yes.
Thank you.
The answer is yes, because this is another example of opportunities being curtailed in Alaska. And again, I think we do fisheries better than the feds did when we were a territory. So the answer to that is yes.
We very much appreciate the governor's conviction on pursuing this lawsuit to the end.
Amy Daugherty is the director of the Alaska Trollers Association.
You know, it's just so frivolous and so harmful to all of Southeast and our way of life here. So it's such good news.
Daugherty says her job has changed dramatically since the Wild Fish Conservancy filed suit 3 years ago. The existential threat to Southeast trolling, which is somewhere between 700 and 800 small businesses across the region, has grown as the suit has progressed. She says the issue has not been overhyped.
I think it's extremely valid. It's extremely, extremely justified to be very concerned about the current situation. Wild Fish Conservancy has a lot more means, certainly, than the Alaska Trollers Association, and they seem to be applying it with absolute conviction. So we are just doing everything we can. We're getting a lot of resolutions. We're getting new money every day, a lot from fishermen, a lot from organizations, processors, stores even, and we're just hopeful that there will be some common sense brought forward through this process.
It's unclear what the immediate impact of a ruling in favor of the Wild Fish Conservancy would have on Southeast trolling, given this newly reelected governor's interest in fighting the suit to the bitter end. During the same Talk of Alaska, Governor Dunleavy didn't just go to bat for trollers. He reaffirmed a commitment to the industry as a whole and to subsistence harvesters on Alaska's interior river systems, whose way of life is threatened by a still unexplained collapse of king salmon and chum runs.
I would say that this is priority number one when it comes to resources for this administration for the next 4 years. And, you know, missing a fishing season, two or three fishing seasons, has a detrimental effect, not just, as you said, on food, but also on the fact that it's difficult to pass down the ways of life and the culture if you can't bring the kids out to fish camp. And so we're going to do everything we can to turn this around because Alaska is fisheries.
A final decision by the U.S. District Court of Western Washington on the December 13th report and recommendation in the case of the Wild Fish Conservancy versus the National Marine Fisheries Service et al. Is pending. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.